UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
It's our second hour here. We're simulcasting on ESPN, not only in 680 and 105.7, where we frequently are. We are always simulcasting. We're on 93.9, The Ville, today as well. And our friend, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. He goes by Biscuit, but his real name is Phyllis Silverstein. No, it's not. It's Dave Skolas, and he's the biggest Biscuit on Twitter.
That's right. I'm a Twitter machine.
How are you, buddy?
I'm great, man. It's football. I've been waiting so long for this. It feels like it's been two whole seasons since we've had real football in the city of Louisville, Bob. So today's a big day for me.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. People are sending me texts about the Falcons releasing Giorgio Tavecchio. It's a day of mourning for us here. Very sad about that.
The Jets released Greg Dortch. I was
what
very
did the Jets sign Tavecchio, by the way?
I don't know. They don't have
Jets
a kicker.
The Jets have no kicker. Right now, the guy can't reach the crossbar. I mean, so he should mind Giorgio.
They picked up, I forget the kicker.
Yeah, they signed another guy.
Yeah, they did.
They let the guy go in free agency last year, and he's kicking his brains out, and now they have nobody there. But that's so Jet-like.
That's what they do. Every time they get a decent kicker, they let him go. They don't pay him. They end up with a new kicker controversy every 2 years.
He's got no leg, literally. Hops over there like the no-arm shortstop that's for right. A Family Guy. What's the guy's name? Bucky? What's the guy's name? I can't remember his name.
Bucky LaGrange.
Bucky LaGrange.
But he hasn't had a hit in ever,
Bob.
All right, so here's the big discussion point. I mean, everybody's excited about a new season. Obviously, whenever a new year comes in a town that loves college football, you get pretty jazzed up. And people are, I guess, I don't know, the people who are so jazzed up get a little bit mad that I'm not here leading the cheers. But I just, I know what happens if you lead the cheers too much. Tomorrow's show, we'll be talking people off the ledge if they get beat 55-3, yes, like LSU did. And that's not impossible. And frankly, even if it happens, in my mind, just why am I thinking, it's not an indictment of Satterfield if it does. The guy is inheriting, as I've said, London after the Second World War. There's just rubble everywhere. What do you want him to do? It takes time. So
that's kind of been my – and obviously I'm excited. I believe in the quote-unquote culture change. I know we've been beat over the head with it. But the bottom line is it takes time to build a roster with football. It's not like basketball where you've got five guys on the court and one or two signees can absolutely change your season. With football, I mean, you've got to build a depth chart. You have to. And unfortunately, with the roster imbalance and what Petrino left Satterfield, he's got roughly, I'd say, 19 to 20 ACC level players, and you need 55-60.
I'm going to say three times that, or certainly twice that anyway.
So I feel good about the first string at most positions, but I mean, we're two injuries away from being in a real pickle. I mean, in offensive line, we've got six bodies. We've got six warm bodies. We need eight or nine.
See, that is the thing that I would love to come here tomorrow and say, hey, boy, what a shock. Yeah. One of the shocking results in college football. Nothing would make me happier than to do that. But the reason that I can't think it's all that viable is just because of what you said. Because I said, just think about this logically. Let's say, for the sake of argument, they got the greatest quarterback and the greatest wide receiver in the history of college football.
Sure.
If the offensive line doesn't give that quarterback time to throw it, if they can't open up any holes for the running back, and they have no bodies. I know when you're trying to say things tactfully.
Yeah.
You're trying not to offend your kids, but you're trying to let the people know. We have about 40% as many offensive linemen as we need to have.
Right.
And that's not even saying how good they are. So it's just, where is that going to come from all of a sudden?
I have this mental image of him when he got here looking at his roster, and he had 17 or 18 scholarship wide receivers. And he had six scholarship offensive linemen. And he's sitting there going, what?
Let me see how this happened here.
He's rubbing his temple going, who did this and why? You know, and that's kind of why
did
most of this offseason.
Did we auto-draft this
scholarship? Right.
So maybe that's what he did. He had auto-recruit.
That's right. That's right. It was like Petrino was just taking the highest rated recruits that would come here with no, you know, with no regard to actual position and roster building. And that's really honestly been our biggest issue this year. But that's why this offseason, while I've been positive and I buy into it really feels like the coaching staff has bought in, the players, the holdovers have bought in, and it feels good.
I agree.
I've kind of talked out of both sides of my mouth where it's like, yeah, I'm excited about the season, but let's be realistic, trying to kind of mitigate people's expectations. Like I write, so for instance, I write a column every week during football season called Five Keys to Victory. And this week I called it Five Keys to Respectability, you know, and I caught a little bit of flack for it. And I was like, guys, a respectable outcome isn't going to be necessarily a win today. You know, I mean, you got to be able to, and this is going to be a theme this season, you have to be able to take positives away from every aspect of the game. Like, cheer on the small victories, you know, and that's how this fan base and this team is gonna have a successful season, where you're playing a team like Notre Dame and cheer the fact that we you know, get a first down in the first possession. We hold them to a three and out. Little things.
Exactly.
You know, we have
the
a game without
the
penalties.
Game.
Very exactly. And that's what we're gonna have to hold on to. It may sound like a moral victory. That's where we're at. You know, when you're building a program and changing a culture like this, that's where you're at. You've got to hold on to the little things.
Well, to me, it goes beyond that, because as somebody who coached, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I hate to say it, I've been in that. Almost every job I took was a rebuilding job. And so we'd all like to get in there and talk about, gee, winning a championship.
It's Bob
this
the
year.
Builder. Bob the Rebuilder.
Well, it's Scott the, if I need something that says an S there, it's Scott the subcontractor. I don't know, but he's, you know, he's got to figure out some way. That'd be great, though, subcontractor. I'm sorry, I can't get it done by Tuesday. No. I thought I was going to have the parts. But
2 weeks, Bob. 2 weeks. The money pit. How long on this job? About 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So we're ready to play. But by the way, here's a little bit of trivia for you. My wife's cousin was the camera operator for that for the money pit.
Really?
He was.
I love that movie.
He was Woody Allen's. If you look at the end of every movie, the camera operator was a guy named Richard Mingolone, Dick Mingolone, and he very rarely worked on other films, but he worked on that one. And he told us that, remember the scene where the whole house falls apart?
Oh, yeah. And Tom Hanks ends up in the fountain.
They got
with
one take at that, he said, because there's no way we could retake it. And it actually didn't. If he said, if you knew what to look for, you'd see in one split second something isn't right. He said, but you'd have to know what you were looking for. He said, but there's no way we could do it again. I mean, it was, right. He said, we had one shot at it. So that is a great film. That's
awesome.
It's very, very
back
funny.
When Tom Hanks was known as like a slapstick comedian. Actor. As a, before, you know,
came
Philadelphia kind of changed everything.
Philadelphia and everything.
Yeah.
By the way, who ate in? What is this? That's a very disgusting, sticky thing there. Radio is disgusting. Radio
really
is. I was. They just built a new studio at the network. What's disgusting at 113?
No, there's some sticky thing in here. I mean, come on. That's
well, I've already had about five things for the mixtape. I could do a greatest hits album on the mixtape here. And by the way, you got to be careful how you say that. Two greatest hits. You say that really fast, and that goes on the mixtape.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
But we had just built a multi-billion-dollar renovation in ESPN. We started there. We were in a tiny, tiny little, what they actually used as a temporary studio once for the Olympics. It was, I'm telling you have no idea how small this thing was. And they finally decided, hey, this thing's going to really go. So they put all this money in. And I'll never forget, the first week, I'm new studios, and I do just what I did here. I'm showing you, the listener won't know, but I'm putting my hand under the counter,
yeah.
And I go, what the hell? And somebody put gum. They took gum and stuck it. Like, what are you, seven?
Like a third
what
grade classroom,
like,
yeah.
I was looking at you, like, he carved in the thing, you know, B, L, and S, P forever, you know, with the heart and the, I was like, what are we, nine in here? So it's disgusting. So I don't know what that is, but I want to get to a break since I could wash it off my hands, whatever the hell that is. That's really revolting.
Hey, take the Lysol and spray it on your hands, and then rub it together. It's the poor man's hand sanitizer.
Can you hear that? There we go. Spray the mic while we're at it.
There you go.
That may or may not have ended up in my drink there. I can just watch you spray that.
No, the line is here, so I don't think it made it. As far as the room.
A little extra flavor, little, just spraying it right in the top of the water.
Yeah, let me get a latte with a couple of squirts of Lysol
Diet Pepsi
in there.
With a twist there.
Oh, my. Locke mentioned this in his program, and I didn't watch it, not like out of protest. I just didn't see it. But they did the all-access for Louisville football, I guess. And
I'm one of the poor, unfortunate people that has AT&T UVerse still and doesn't have the AC network.
Yeah, so me too, by the way.
Yeah.
So I didn't see it. But you can watch it on your phone, can't you? Can't you access it on your phone?
I heard a rumor of it. I was following it on Twitter, just being sad that I couldn't see
it. I feel so bad for kids today who don't know. Remember when you're not even old enough to remember when the time came when there were not 17,000 stations and you didn't have to go hunting for
right.
The Knicks were and the Rangers were on WOR Channel 9. The Yankees were on Channel 11. You know, in football, the Jets were on Channel 4. The Giants were on Channel 2. That's right. What you had. And you knew where it was and that's where you looked. And then that's all. Now I don't, you know, and the announcers were the same. Now there's a cable guy and a radio guy and a backup radio
guy. There's a thousand different.
You look at the broadcast. The broadcasting team is 70 guys. It's like they used to be three. There literally were. Anyway.
Well, you know, I lived in the New York area for 5 years between 92 and 97 when I was a kid. And, you know, so I got a chance with like the MSG network and all that stuff.
Sure.
Every Yankees game was on. Every Mets game was on. So I grew up with a little
bit. But at least
you
got that's true. Even then, even though it was cable, it was in the same spot.
Yeah.
Now you don't even know where the hell it is. Sometimes it's on TV, sometimes not on TV, sometimes it's on the internet. Sometimes, I mean, it's just, but listen, it's paying the bills. So that's
first world problems for
but
us.
But anyway, in that show, they said evidently the Malik was, if anything, ahead of Puma.
Yeah.
That's I don't know if that's encouraging or troubling.
I don't know, and it's funny because Malik Cunningham and Puma, they're very different quarterbacks. They're very different stylistically, and it does kind of make sense though when you think about it. It's going to be a run centric offense. We're going to try to take the air out of the ball this year, and Malik can do a lot on the ground. Mm. But we're going to need a quarterback that can at least complete some passes to keep the defense honest. So they're going to stack the box with 8 or 9 guys, and you know, blow us up, but it stands to reason that he would have been ahead. But I don't know. I mean, when you miss 3 weeks in the middle of summer camp,
so you think that's the quarterback competition?
I think it's dead at this point, at least between those two.
But I mean, but do you think though they were coming into the year thinking he might be their guy?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely a possibility with all the positive stories we heard about Juwan in the offseason. You know, there weren't many ringing endorsements in the first couple of weeks of summer camp coming out from whatever sources you heard of his play until the second scrimmage when he had the job locked up already.
And at that point, as you said, it was a moot point.
Sure. I don't know.
Because that's the thing. I've always heard in football, I understand, you know, you could play – it's like basketball. You can play style, you know, you can hurry to the line and take less time between plays. And they're obviously going to take obviously as much time
as they can.
But still, the fact of the matter is if you can't get 10 yards in 3 plays, you're not keeping the ball. So it's like when you're taking the air out of the ball, okay, great. So instead of giving it back to you in 36 seconds, we gave it back to you in a minute and 12 seconds. Ooh, that's going to be hardly any possessions there.
It's going to be big there,
guys. By the way, Nick, a texter. Oh, somebody fixed it. It said we had 93.9 was dead air, but now we have come back on the air. Do we have any idea what that was about?
I had to. I don't want to throw him under the bus.
You got to throw somebody under the bus?
Yeah, no.
Who?
No.
Somebody did something wrong.
I just know it wasn't something in here. Okay. So, yeah. But we're fixed now. So
okay.
Who cares?
Yay. Great. All right, great. Here's interesting. I'll have to get your take on this. Biggest biscuit, Extra Buttra.
Extra Buttra. That's right.
I call him Mr. Biscotti.
I like
he calls,
that.
He calls me Mr. Biscotti. He does.
And I like the fact that you actually follow baseball, which we won't get into now, but we can talk off air about a little baseball as well.
I do.
That's a great tweet, by the way. I'm sorry. Imagine twisting yourself into a pretzel justifying voting for anybody but Mike Trout for AL MVP. There's a man who follows the game. I respect that man.
He's Mickey Mantle.
He's modern day Willie Mays.
Either one of those guys,
take your pick.
He's going to end up being one of the five best players ever to play baseball.
He might be. When it's all said and done, that's a guy who knows the game. No question.
There you go.
Anyway, but here's this. Texter said this to me. And then I asked, okay, why would you say that? And he never responded. Because, I guess, if you have an opinion, like as I've said before, it's a flavor of ice cream, a cut of meat. I prefer a T-bone as opposed to a sirloin. I don't know. That's not true. But if that's what I said, that's your business. But this is not a taste preference. This is a statement. I don't care if Brohm got blown out by 30. I'd take Brohm over Satterfield 100 times over. So based on what? And again, I'm not an anti. I think I like Jeff a lot. He, every time he's come out, I like him as a person. I think he's done a great job. But 100 times over is like comparing a Ferrari and a Yugo. I mean, really, what would make you say that? Like, you, the only way in my mind you could say that is if, oh, I used to follow him closely at App State. If you went down there, you'd see his kids, anything. His kids were complete arrogant jerks during the game. They were always in fights. You know, if you really found out that none of them, they didn't go to class. But he, best of my knowledge, there was no whiff of scandal there. They built a perpetually one of the best programs in the country. His colleagues speak glowingly about the guy. They say, this guy can really coach. So what do you make of that?
It's an emotional response. I mean, people here in Louisville know Jeff Brohm. They didn't know Scott Satterfield. I mean,
they still don't really know him that well.
No, they don't. And I'll say this. I followed him just being a big college football fan. I was very aware of who he was, you know, and obviously his results speak for himself, speak for themselves. He's a program builder. To say you'd take him 100 times out of 100 is just an emotional response, not knowing the alternative. I mean, granted, the biggest difference with Jeff Brohm, if we had gotten him, the biggest difference would have been the immediate flip of the city of Louisville. We had an incredible generational crop of talent the last 2 years. And this year we were looking at it probably, word on the street was we would have flipped every one of those four stars in Louisville to the University
of
Louisville. Yeah, that was the word.
Okay, well, that I had nerd. All right, that's a, well, okay, well, then you should answer for this.
Milton Wright, et cetera.
Because those guys give you some sense of not just the excitement, but that you actually be more competitive,
right?
Faster.
It would have.
I'm
cut,
not sure in the big picture it'll be anything, because this guy will get his hooks in where he's going to recruit, and they'll do fine. But in terms of a short term thing, if he could have turned a couple of those guys,
it would have paid immediate dividends, and maybe cut a year off of the rebuilding process.
I'll
but
buy that.
At the end of the day, I think that we got a great coach with Satterfield. You're just going to have patience.
I agree with you,
and I think a huge factor with Jeff not taking the job, besides what he said publicly, was the fact that the timing just wasn't right. I think that within 2 to 3 years, he's going to be an NFL coach. That's my opinion.
I think
personally,
he's going to be tagged. If they can continue the success they have, and if they keep losing to the Nevadas of the world, that may
not
happen.
But
I agree with you. I think he's played at that level. He's got a perfect NFL kind of demeanor. He's kind of a, you know, the modern guy is that you can't coach like you did 40 years ago, and he doesn't do that, I don't think. Anyway,
and what's the trend right now? Young offensive-minded
guys.
I mean, the NFL is a copycat league, down to the fact that a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, who has failed his way out of the Big 12 into a head coaching job in the NFL.
That is rather interesting to me.
It is.
Why are there people like that? Like, my favorite, of course, Nick knows exactly where I'm going with this. The guy that makes me, it's hard for me to hear his name without having a little recoil. Thank you. Isaiah Thomas. Thomas, please follow me through with this sequence.
I'm following you. I'm there.
Takes the CBA, buys it. My friend was a big executive in the CBA, and it was going really well. Sioux Falls was one of the best franchises in that league. They drew about 8,000-9,000 people a game. He comes in, he tells them all, I got big plans for this league, buys it, and then tells them by fax he's shutting it down. Doesn't even call them. Sends them a fax. As of today, the CBA will no longer exist because he got a chance to go in the NBA.
To be fair, that was a pretty big plan, Bob.
Yeah, well, at least giving credit. He certainly said he was going to make
sweeping
big changes, and
there
did. He went to Indiana, lost a playoff series where arguably he had probably 7 of the best 10 players on the court on his team. Went to the Knicks as a coach, sucked, so they made him a front office guy. They made him, and not only did he suck as a front office guy, he lost the team a $12 million sexual harassment lawsuit. And it's like, we can't promote him any higher. We're out of it as high as he can go. So they fire him, and then they tried to bring him back.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I've never marched on anything. I would have marched on James Dolan's Cablevision headquarters. I'd have walked there with a sign and said, "Are you effing kidding me?" That's all the sign would have said.
Bad owners are going to be bad, Bob.
Oh, my God. But why do some people do that? Like, it helps, I guess. I hate to say it. This is going to sound completely shallow, which is appropriate for me. But, I mean, there's a certain element. Isaiah Thomas is what? they talk about Kingsbury as what? He's a Hollywood.
Looks like he's Ryan Gosling.
Yes, he's Ryan Gosling. I'm convinced if you look like a foot, that doesn't happen. You get one shot at it. Like
believe you me, Bob, I understand
the poor,
that.
The poor fat guy at Kansas who cheated his way out of a career. Remember he won
Mangino?
One year? Yeah. And he's Italian, too, and that's how they are Italians. They bounce Tavecchio, they bounce Mangino, but Kingsbury loses, and he gets an NFL job. I'm telling you.
Hey, don't.
I tell you what, the
Italians are getting it in the shorts.
I got some, and Jay, we all love Jason Anderson. He told me some inside stories about Mark Mangino that I don't want to talk out of school. You probably heard the same ones.
He hates Kansas anyway.
He
so.
Does, but he heard some interesting.
There's one that I can't get into. It's about hygiene. That just, that is ridiculous. That makes no sense. I tried to actually, honest to God. Your arms would have to be 6 inches long. You have to be a circus freak for that to be true.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That is so disgustingly inaccurate.
It was gross.
Nick, you know what we're talking about? You're in for a treat at the top of the commercial break. Trust me.
Can't wait.
No, you really. It's so. But it's wrong. I mean, I think it's it's wrong.
This is why we need video as you try to demonstrate.
Well, imagine honestly, it might. And obviously, he got ran out of the profession, but. Mark Mangino won 12 games at Kansas. That deserves a medal.
Are you kidding me?
Kind of like when Greg Schiano, and he's had his own issues since, but he won 11 games at Rutgers.
What is with all the Italian guys?
He won 11 games at Rutgers. When you can do those types of things at those just doormat programs, like Northwestern, what Fitzgerald has done there, it's amazing.
You
deserve a medal.
Keep your nose clean, and you could work for the rest of your life because people always remember that.
You ought to be able to.
You should be. I mean, but Schiano, of course, had his problems, and Mangino.
He should still be chopping wood up there in Rutgers.
Absolutely.
Clay Travis was ready to incite, like secede from the union.
Yeah, again. He had Knoxville up in arms about the possible Schiano.
I have more
hiring.
Followers than you. I can get you. I've
that
never
was a whole
seen someone
thing.
Get that pissed.
Good night.
Speaking of Tennessee, this weekend, I said this earlier before you joined us. Biggest Biscuit. You can follow him on Twitter under that. He's at Biggest Biscuit.
Yes, sir.
We were talking about this before you came on. If you're a Louisville fan, I guess. You could look at this weekend and find inspiration. You've got Georgia Southern? Who's
Georgia,
the one that won?
Georgia State.
Georgia State. Georgia Southern got walloped by LSU. I keep saying it backwards. Georgia State, that's an incredible win. Wyoming beats a Missouri team that's supposed to be pretty good.
Northern Iowa takes Iowa State to triple overtime.
Triple overtime. So there's games that were literally, well, I hate to say it, our friend at Purdue. He was, I think, a pretty heavy favorite that game, and they lost outright. So if you're a Louisville fan, you could say, see, those things can happen. But I also say, you saw what, Michigan State covered easily against the Tulsa team. But by the way, was one spot ahead of Louisville in the Sagarin ratings last year, so that's comparable. You watched what LSU did and took care of business. So you could take from this weekend's scores whatever narrative you can retrofit the scores into your own narrative that see upsets are rampant or see the powers that and I hate to say it, on all those other games I don't think any of them maybe I don't know I didn't do research were facing what Louisville is a first year coach with such a bare cupboard. That's the biggest difference.
That's the thing. It's easy to talk in broad terms and generalities, but you got to look at a case by case basis. And when you've got such roster imbalance. I mean, between the amount of players we had to run off just based on having too many wide receivers and guys that didn't want to be a part of the new regime, we had how many guys changing positions? The position change. We had DBs all over the field right now. We got DBs playing outside linebacker, safety, etc. And then the just the pure lack of depth. We know the team far better than national analysts. But that being said, we also know that there's a fair amount of talent left over from a couple of years ago. There is. The only question
You're right about that.
Is whether that talent has been ruined or whether it's salvageable.
Well, that's the other thing that I look at. You can the old saying, the guys come in and give me confidence. I said this on the show many times. Nobody gives you confidence. Confidence is a byproduct of one thing, successful performance under pressure.
Absolutely.
They can tell you, I believe in you, and then you can go out and do it. But until you do it under pressure,
it's all talk,
and you don't really have confidence. And this is not going to be a team that's going to be very easy to get your confidence going, I'm going to guess. I mean, I don't know, unless Notre Dame really backslides from last year. It's going to be hard for you. I hate to say say it, but again, you go up the road, Kentucky had a perfect game for that. A team that's not a bad team, but they do have more depth and more physical size, and they wore them down, and your confidence grew. You see that defensive secondary got a little bit more confident. They played better. Louisville's not going to have that luxury. I don't think they are against the Notre Dame team. That's the big difference.
That's one of the things I wrote about in that column is one of the, my big fears about this team is that if Louisville starts to face adversity, they're going to maybe go back to their default mental setting, which was as losers last year. You know, a couple of touchdowns happen early. They're down 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, and all of a sudden they remember what it feels like to be terrible. They remember they kind of
well, not only that,
default to their original setting.
There's a part of you that says, I hate to say it, but even though they wouldn't articulate it, it's that this coach's message, it's no different. It's the same,
exactly.
Same church, different pew here. That's all.
How much did the quote-unquote culture change take? You know, did it really take, or is it just kind of a surface thing? You know, and winning is a habit, losing is a habit.
No question.
And all they know, most of the players that have PT under their belt from last season, all they know is losing. And we'll see what happens when they face adversity, how they respond to it. That's going to be the biggest question with this team, I think.
No, I agree
biggest
with that.
Biggest question.
I always said that, the hardest thing, the second hardest thing is to win. The hardest thing is to win in a culture that has lost decisively for a while, because you not only have the normal steps you got to take, putting a new offense in, getting your coaches acclimated, getting new terminology in place, getting your hands around a schedule, getting familiar with the opponents. You know, the opponents have to learn one new opponent, you.
Yeah.
You've got to learn 10 new opponents.
100%.
And you've got to learn everybody else in the league, all of those things. So that's true even if you're taking a program that's had some success. When you're coming in like this, you got the added element of, you don't even know a proven factor. Like, I can't say, all right, well, I know Biscuit's going to do this. All right, I got that, I know. You know, where would you hang your hat with this team? So that's the thing I looked at. Where do you hang your hat? I mean, you can't say, all right, well, at least I know we're okay here. I guess. I don't know, the receivers, I guess, but.
The kicker? I'm not even being.
No, the kicker and the punter. I mean, our specialists are one of the best duos in the country.
If you're going to play, you're going to steal a close game.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
But that's the thing. And that's why this team was so hard to project this season, is that it was such a uniquely terrible situation last year with the coaching staff, the zero buy-in, it felt like an absentee coaching staff last year. I feel like there's not that much carryover when you're talking about predicting the season this year. There really isn't. I think that every single player is a different player than they were last year.
You better hope so.
Yeah, right. And everything that's not talent, you would assume, would be a net gain. You know, that's kind of what I've been hanging my hat on, is that, you know, discipline's going to be better. Scheme's going to be better. Effort's going to be better. All that stuff across the board should result in some kind of net gain as far as your quality of your team. But it's so hard to predict what this team's going to do, because I just don't think there's any straight carryover from last season, negative or positive.
S&G, as they say. There's a computer app that I use all the time just for fun. It's called What If Sports. You ever see it?
I don't know if
you can compete. You can, on the computer.
Okay.
Match up any two teams in history.
Oh.
It's very fun. So if you ever wonder, like, I wonder which team was really better, Louisville's 80 championship team or 86 championship team, and you put them on the computer, they'll do it for football, basketball, baseball, I think even hockey, if I'm not mistaken. I know the other big three they do. So let's just take last year's Notre Dame team and have them play here. You can also set the site. We'll have them play here at Louisville and see what the computer says the result would be. Would you like to make a guess? What do you think it's going to come out as?
Wait, last year's team?
Last year's
Notre Dame and last year's Louisville team?
Yep, let's see.
I would say it would be roughly, say, 63-14.
Oh, you think they'll score that many points?
I mean,
Louisville's defense.
We really didn't play defense last year.
I was going to say, that's the worst part of it is, if they could, I always said, if you can just defend, you can keep it close. Yeah. I mean, they last year, their defense is going to literally have to be like, oh, I don't know, 300% better just to be competitive.
We had 9 returning starters, and I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing.
That's the old joke.
You know what I mean?
Here's the good news and the bad news.
Right.
All right, here we go. Here's the game. Let's see the matchup. Let's play it here at Cardinal Stadium. How about we make the weather a little warmer? You can even change the weather. We'll make it
hard on the South Bend boys.
Temperature, no precipitation. It's not supposed to rain tonight. Let's make it 80 degrees, okay? Here's the game. We're underway. And the result says Yeah, you know what? I hate to say it. This could be how it plays out. Notre Dame 38, Louisville 10. It was 14-3 at the half, and they outscored them 24.
See, this season I could possibly buy last
year's
defense.
If that came out that way this year, I would think Louisville would be relatively happy with it.
Are you satisfied with that? I'm okay with it.
It depends on how it plays out. And it's a cliche, but that, you know, we could go 3-9, and it depends on what happened.
Dash in between. How you got to those three.
The style of how we play is going to be so much more important than the record this year.
But this is viable, though, because last year, as you know, they gave up 6 yards a rush, one of the worst defenses in the history of college football. Why did the other team ever get to third down?
Right.
2 runs, and it's a 12-yard gain. It's first down. But in this game, this hypothetical game, Notre Dame rushed for an average of 5.8 yards per rush. So that is in keeping with last year's theme.
Bob, I try to think about, like, in 20 years, you know, and I'm trying to describe to my kids how bad the 2018 Louisville football team was. It's going to be so hard. You can't just quantify it with stats.
Point to a screen door.
It's so bad. Like, they really didn't play football at all.
No, it was heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking
to watch the effort after, well, I don't know. You could argue right after the Florida State game.
Florida State was the last straw. That late play.
Well, if you talk to some of the players, and I know you probably do more than I do, I mean, the way I got to point fingers. I've learned that from when I coached. How you send your message to your team absolutely makes a difference, especially in a game like football. And the mindset for them was they dumped it all at the players' feet.
Which is unconscionable.
Which is absolutely. You know, we coached well. You played poorly. You screwed. And as you know, the coaching staff made some decisions that certainly were questionable to begin with.
Why are you throwing the ball there?
That's the game. That's the game where you step up and say, guys, that's me. You know, I just said, and you could spin it. I had so much faith that we were going to throw it. It was there. But you know what? That's my call. And then the players rally around you. Instead, they were so alienated from that point on. I think that's true in any sport, but especially such an emotionally charged game like football. At that point, it was bad, and it got worse.
And obviously, they didn't have the relationship to fall back on anyway. They didn't feel the love with the coaches. There wasn't any trust there. And then on top of it, you throw the kids under the bus, specifically Juwan Pass.
Gleefully threw them under the bus.
How do you play for a coach like that? How do you put in 110% effort for a coach like that?
Especially a game like this where you really got to sacrifice
your
kidding. Body.
No kidding.
I mean, it's the other thing that I'm intrigued by is why can't or couldn't they get a guy who could coach defense here? I mean, that absolutely mystifies me.
Yeah. And obviously, Bobby wasn't easy to work for.
I guess, but I mean, there's a whole bunch of people I know that are complete spitheads to work for, but the guys do a good job. They bitch and moan about it, but they do a good job. But the defense here was bad, worse, unbelievably worse, and then I can't believe I've ever seen a defense like that. That was like the categories of defense.
We didn't think. See, I was one of the guys that at the end of Todd Grantham's third year here, I was ready to move on, honestly, at the time. Like, statistically,
You'd like to have had him back.
Right. The top 15 defense, but I felt like we struggled on third down, and there was a fundamental.
Grantham, as they called it.
Exactly. There was a fundamental breakdown late in games, and it just felt like every time we needed a stop, the defense had to get a stop.
They couldn't do it.
They didn't get it. And Lamar, frankly, bailed us out more times than I can count. The Virginia game, et cetera, his Heisman season. And then the next year, I could not want Grantham back anymore after six games of watching Peter Sermon.
Please come home. Paul's forgiven.
And then we thought, well, Peter Sermon's gone. It's a net gain. I don't care if Van Gorder struggled in his last couple stops. You know, it can't be any worse than Peter Sermon.
And he was.
We were wrong again, Bob.
That's why I said it was phases.
It was amazing.
Of how bad. It was bad. Then it got worse. Then it got unbelievably worse. Then it got historically bad, then it got to the point where you felt like they would have a better chance stopping them playing against the wind.
And you saw us lose, or the U of L lose up-and-coming coaches, and then replace them with unqualified family members. I mean, it got to the point where we just couldn't.
Nepotism,
nobody
dog.
Wanted, and nobody it's wanted to work for them, though.
It's hilarious.
Uh-oh, might be time to sing. I don't care. I know it's a Louisville game, but I don't care. Top of the second inning, New York Metropolitans.
Uh-oh.
Back-to-back hits, 2-0 Mets, still batting, one out, runners on first and third. Noah Syndergaard is the batter, and the Mets think about a squeeze play, see if they can add to this 2-0 lead. It's too early to sing, but we'll see. with Big Thor on the hill.
Oh man,
I love it.
Now you know
there's still a chance.
See,
not a big chance, but a chance.
I was a big A's fan growing up because I lived in California before we moved to New York. But back before interleague play, I firmly believed that you could have an American League team and a National League team. Picked up the Mets when I moved there. I used to fall asleep every night to Mets broadcast. Back, I remember the big, what was the big three pitchers that they bought in too hard Dwight in the early 90s? Well, Jason Isringhausen.
Like, oh, you're talking about after that. Yeah, sorry, you're not old enough to remember those guys.
No, I remember them, but that was bad. They were actually good.
Yes.
These were the kids they thought were going to
be good, and then
they didn't pan out. I think it was all the 94. They all made their debut in the same
and
month.
And then they went down the crap-a-roo. But let's go see. Yeah. Very, very
still
interesting.
Still develop love for him, though.
That's attaboy. See, that's smart. Why can't you have one in each league? Your biggest problem would be if they ever meet in the World Series.
Yeah.
In the history of baseball, that's happened one time, 1973. So, you know, that's a nice problem to have.
But the problem is they started interleague play, and I had to revert back to
you can still revert.
You know, just not as hard as the A's. I'm a one-team man.
You know. It sounds like a country song.
That's right.
I'm a one-team man. She took my mascot. And I...
So A's, Jets, unfortunately, and Spurs. Those are my teams.
All right. Fair enough. Syndergaard struck out looking on a pitch. Let him swing the bat, for God's sake. Mickey Callaway.
Let Thor swing the hammer.
He's a decent hitter.
He's not bad.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back, continue talking about 99% of the game coming up tonight. It is Notre Dame. And the Louisville, I think I saw the Notre Dame team yesterday. I passed them on Interstate 65. I mean, I think it had to be them. It was a police escort with, like, how many buses does a football team get when they come?
Four.
And there were five buses.
Three or four, yeah.
Well, they had five. There's Notre Dame.
Fair.
You got the players, the coaches, the priests, the saints, the sinners.
The cardinal.
And the people in charge of the bingo games. So,
bam.
Ba-boom. We'll come back. Biscuit's with us. You're with us. Thanks for spending some time here on this. Hope you're having a good Labor Day on ESPN 680, 105.7 and 93.9 The Bill.
Download the new ESPN Louisville app. Search ESPN Louisville for streaming, podcasts, and the latest program schedule. Time now for an ESPN Louisville Sports Center update.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. This SportsCenter update brought to you by HexHeadArt.com. If you're looking to complete your man cave with some fantastic 3D metal artwork, use promo code ESPN for 15% off your order. HexHeadArt.com. It is game day in the Ville. Number 9, Notre Dame coming to town to face the Cardinals. Kickoff 8 p.m. on ESPN. ESPN Louisville, your home for pregame, bringing you right up until kickoff, and then immediately after the final buzzer, Mark Ennis will have Coors Light postgame. All of those shows on all sticks, ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. But to the game itself, the Cards, they are currently 19 point underdogs. That line moving to 18, I apologize. Was Coach Scott Satterfield earlier last week mentioning what worries him about this Irish team?
I think just their overall size and speed. I mean, when you look at that, you know, it's what we look going back and looking at last year, and some of these guys that are 6'4", 260, playing linebacker, I mean, that's pretty impressive of the size and speed that they have. Because when you have that length, you can cover a lot of ground. I'm talking defensively. They're coached well.
Again, Coors Light postgame coming to you immediately after the final whistle. Process shout out there with the update on the betting line. To the UK side of things, the Cats, they get their season underway this weekend, beating Toledo 38-24. Three touchdowns from three different running backs for the Wildcats. Still post-game, Mark Stoops mentioning that he wanted to see more toughness from his squad. The Cats, their next in action with Eastern Michigan next week. More Biscuit and Bobby V next.
It's Bob Valvano. Find us online anytime at ESPNLouisville.com.
We'll be right back.
RV Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Our friends at Vitality help bring the program to you, and they are a program that Nick and I are both using. Between the two of us, we've probably lost 60 pounds, I guess, combined, or darn close to it.
You guys are looking great.
Thank you. It's very kind of you. It's a great program. They tailor it individually to what you need. You put your hand on this little machine. The machine goes, tells you everything about your body and lets you know what nutrients you're missing, the minerals, and then they give you supplements that your body is going to make it work its most efficiently. That's why it's called not just weight loss, but wellness. And it makes it so a lot of times I'm convinced that you overeat because your body is trying to tell you, hey, dude, I don't have enough of X and Y. And so you interpret that as, oh, it means more pizza. And then you keep eating the stuff that your body's not craving. And so you eat that. And then you say, how can I still be wanting something else? Because your body is craving things that you don't know. Well, this tells you what those things are, and they'll help you get it into your diet. And it's a system that works around your schedule. It's flexible. You eat real food. It's not these packaged things. I love those diets. Say, hey, have pizza on our program. Then you buy it, and the pizza's the size of a postage stamp. There you go. Great. Here's your pizza, jackass.
It's cardboard.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is real food. It changes the way you eat. You're healthier, and it's made a huge difference. So you need to give them a call. Vitality has got two offices, one in Southern Indiana, one here in Louisville, right off Bardstown Road, and they'll get in there for a free consultation, and they will show you how the program works. But I love the fact it's flexible. The food is good. I've learned to read. I've learned to discover there is a portobello mushroom pizza, essentially, that you make. Instead of the crust, you use a big portobello mushroom. I'm telling you, I don't care if you're on a diet or not, this thing is delicious. And you, who I know, enjoy a good piece of meat.
I do.
You know what? You can have a lot of meat on this diet because the protein is there. And you, right, Nick? I mean, you can have darn near everything, basically.
Yeah.
We got chicken and beef. And, it's good. It's really, really good.
And fish, if you want to do the fish thing.
I learned about fish. I thought fish was harder to make than it is. It's not nearly as hard. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's one of my specialties.
On the grill, right?
Yep. Yep, it's delicious. I do a smoke fire salmon. It's a unique preparation, but it's
right. I'm telling you, it's really changed how I've learned to eat. So check them out; you'll like. It's been a life changer for us. We're very grateful. Vitality.
The betting line. I don't know if you heard, there was actually that long pause in there was. It was, I believe, 18 and a half this morning.
It was 19 when I came into the show.
Then I did a Sports Center, and it was 19. And then I was like, I believe this is still the right thing, and the right line. So I started doing the Sports Center and process. And process came in with an updated line and stuck it in my face. And shout out to him. I mean, he was doing what I asked. I asked him to double check it. No, I asked him to double
check. There we go. Thank you.
152. I asked him to double check, and yeah, so that long pause was that the betting line has changed to 18 now. So it's gone from 18 and a half up to 19. Now it's down to 18. So they say the late money is the smart money. I don't know. Well, maybe something there.
I don't know. Depends on how you interpret the late money. I mean, you're going to say the late money moved it to 19, but the later money made it 18. I don't know. But
the latest money.
The latest money, as it were. Yes.
Let me go see.
I'm going to ESPN. I'm going to bet after the game.
There you go. You don't lose that. It's hard to get people to pay you for that. It's 18. It's still 18 and a half on ESPN.com. That's amazing to me, by the way, how important that is to the gamblers. I'm so mad I can't remember the name of this book. Did you ever read this book about the guy? He was a gambler and a handicap, but what he did is he got involved with like these big betting syndicates, the companies that have the full-time people that are getting all the information, and they bet so much, they can't bet it all at one sports book. The book won't take it. So they got to find guys like him.
Spread it around town.
And he goes all around town. And how fascinating it – I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is it's like anything else. It's work. They're working their asses off, these people. But they talk about a difference of like a point or point and a half swing may mean a difference of $500,000 bet for these people.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable to me. I got to find the name of that book because I want to recommend it to people. It's very entertaining. The guy doesn't do it anymore. He got into it, and he's explaining how the whole system worked, and he became a good handicapper himself. But it was they call them the sharps and the whales, and I get what the other ones were. But the people they make their living
fish, or is it?
On like 90% of the people who bet for fun. Yeah. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I bet on them. I'm a Louisville fan. I bet on them.
I'll put $20 a week on the game.
I'm just going to be excited about the Virginia, or if you're whatever it may be. But the guys that can break them are the guys that make the – they don't bet a lot. They'll bet – you know, most sports fans will play a big parlay or they'll bet 10 games.
That's how I do it whenever I do it.
It's like, fun.
I play like a $10 parlay trying to hit it for $1,200.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I still remember I played a money line parlay for $5 back when the show was on 93.9. It was a straight – it was money line, so it was not point spreads. But college football, and I went 10 for 10 or 8 for 8, I can't remember, and made turned $5 into like 490. And
it's a beautiful thing.
And what they say, won money is so much better than earned money.
Money won. I read, I wish I could remember the name of the comedian, but I used to listen to a podcast, you know, and they did a lot of interviews with comedians. And he started his career, he grew up in Vegas, and he was a runner for you know, a big professional gamblers. And he was the guy who would run around town and place bets at different houses, you know, and spread the money around, and he would hold thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash in his house.
Really?
And it was his father who was a deadbeat degenerate, you know, and he had stolen money from him in the past. He came back into his life at one point, and he was, you know, reformed, etc., trying to be a part of his life again, and he stole like $150,000 from him.
Really?
In cash out of his house. I wish I remembered the name of the comedian. I'll look back at my old podcast and see if I can remember it. But it's amazing stories of how much money there is floating out there and how vulnerable some of these people are.
Well, and how, I hate to say it, everything's smarmy. I wrote a book. I was amazed how smarmy the publishing business is.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, you know, because certainly you'll find people not like this, but the, you know, the car business is, can be a rough and tumble business. So
look, I'm in sales. I've been exposed to
a lot of different
industries and different sales tactics, you know, and high pressure and non pressure, and I tell you what, it's interesting. It definitely is.
Well, and when it's gambling, it's even worse.
Much worse, I mean,
in the sense that if you're my customer, I want you to walk away and be happy, so that maybe you'll do business again. When it comes down to this, you're just trying to beat the casino. Have you ever watched the documentaries on how people try and cheat in casinos?
Oh yeah.
There was one. I mean, this one's so rudimentary, but there was a guy they would bring in a wheelchair, and turns out he wasn't crippled, because from his angle he could see under the cards as they were coming out of the shoe. They wheel him out, and then they get a parking lot, and he jumps out, and they put the wheelchair in the
man,
and they take off. But I mean, that's just shameless,
unbelievable.
But, it's amazing stuff. I gotta go find this book. I will find it. I'm telling you, you will be entertained by it.
No, it's for sure. It sounds like an amazing,
entertaining
read.
Book, and it's old now. It's 15.
Did you ever read Bring It Down the House? The blackjack.
Oh, the guys, the MIT guys.
Yep.
I saw there was a documentary on it, 60 Minutes.
And then they made the movie. They whitewashed it and made the movie 21.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
They took all the Asian kids and turned them into white kids.
Why? There was like one Asian girl.
Yeah, and a one Asian guy. Instead, they were all. Yeah. You know.
Why did they not want Asian guys?
They do
bring
that.
It down
it's Hollywood.
It's Hollywood. They want they think that white people won't spend money on a movie where they're not represented.
They had Tom Cruise as The Last Samurai.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, Lucy Liu or Maggie Q, I'd pay money to see them make eggs, for God's sake.
Hollywood doesn't have as much faith in humanity.
They're dumb.
I'm sure they have the money to prove it, too, though, the receipts.
That was called Bringing Down the House?
Yeah, that was the book, and then 21 was the movie.
Oh, yeah, because there was a movie called Bringing Down the House with Steve Martin. It was a comedy.
Different one, yeah.
No. The movie was 21. I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not bad, but the book was far more interesting, I think.
Well, I'm frantically searching for this book. I will find it.
Just incredible, you know, card counters. They had a system, and they had a signaling system and all that stuff. And
still amazing. I mean, it's not foolproof. It's just
just gives you an edge.
It gives you an edge. Yeah. That's all.
You know when to swing for the fence.
Any edge will help you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll know that the deck is juiced. You know,
exactly.
If they're counting cards properly. And
Jimmy and I were doing it for a little. I mean, not like actually in the casino, but we like practiced actually the skill of it.
I'm fairly certain they're not banning you from the casino for $5 bets at the
Nick's up there.
I never
watched you every weekend.
There's a big headed guy. He beat us out of $30 last week. I put his picture up at all the doors.
Nick's at the dollar table.
and he's on his fingers.
Sir,
do you want to hit
it? Sir, are you counting cards? Like, no, I'm just,
he literally is counting cards. He's like, he would announce, That's the 83rd card of this shoe. Okay, thank you, sir. Do I win? No, that's not what they mean by counting cards.
Sir, please take your Sprite, your popcorn, and your abacus and leave.
Please, would you just move along?
Can I get a comp for the buffet?
You'll pay for that! Sir, I think we'll survive without the $7 you lost here last week. Thank you. Appreciate it, though. Thank your way
Believe
out.
It or not, and this is another, it's only barely related to what we're talking about today. A friend of mine, who will remain nameless, used to go into the boat on a fake ID, which is the dumbest thing you could do, for years, between the ages of 18 and 21. He finally got caught before he turned 21 and was banned for life.
Really?
From all Horseshoe Caesar's properties.
They banned you for life?
Because they caught him on a fake ID.
Would you like to know one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done? Nick knows.
Love to hear it.
Outing myself here. And there's another mixtape. I was playing the video blackjack game. And, you know, they're pretty big machines.
Yeah.
And it was one of those ridiculous ones where, like, I had, you know, split something and then doubled. So for my little humble betting, I had a lot of money.
All of a sudden, you're in there.
And the dealer had, and I had all good hands. I had like 20, 19, 20, 19. You know, it was like split three different ways. I had like six hands going, and nothing was worse than a 19. And the dealer had like 14.
Yeah.
And got like an ace, 15. Got an ace, 16. Then got a 5, 21. And I took my hand and I went, boom. And the screen shattered into a million pieces. And they were not pleased. It was not something where they were like, yeah, that's okay, Mr. Valvano. Don't worry about it. Clean up on aisle 6. Right. I had to go to the office. I had to replace the machine. And that screen was expensive. Ooh. I was on probation for like 6 months. I couldn't go back in there.
It was really sad.
It was really, I was so humiliated. But I was like, yeah, I fessed up to it like a 5-year-old. I think I broke your screen. You know,
excuse me, sir.
Yeah, well, you
I
know
think
what? Not only do we think, hey, would you like to see yourself do it? You got it on video, you jackass. And I was like, oh, okay,
I
yeah.
I think I may or may not. like, you don't know, you know? You don't know what you did.
All of a sudden, I was a little disappointed about the, and at that moment, the screen just shattered. I don't know how that happened.
I had a spasm.
It's a condition I've got. You know. It's called tricepitis. It's terrible.
I can get
terrible.
You a doctor's note if you want. I just, bam! Randomly.
I didn't, like, jump up and, you know, bash it. I just, like, that, you know, like, darn it. And
it had to be an old machine, right, Bob?
No, I beat it. Broke.
You should have done the Tommy Boy.
What'd you do?
And, like, make it look like they broke it.
Yeah, it was great. There's nobody sitting around me. It's on video. That would have only made it even more humiliating. I mean, right. I was so. If you physically can shrink, I think I did in that office. I walked out like that 19 inches tall. There you go. All right, we're at the top of the hour. Good. Thanks for coming in, buddy. Have
My
a good
pleasure,
time
Bob.
Tonight.
Thanks
Enjoy
for having
it.
Me. Go Cards.
Yes, sir. We'll see what plays out. Thanks for being with us. So, all of you listening, we got another hour to go here on ESPN Radio.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.